What is up, pro nerds? Welcome to another episode of The Last Word, the hit Project Nerd podcast where four contestants compete for the last word. We have one live viewer now, so make sure if you are picking this up on YouTube in the future that you check out all our other episodes live stream every other Wednesday over on our Facebook and Twitch. In the meantime, let's get right to it and introduce our awesome guests, as we're going to have four contestants that are back for a second time. We're going to go, I'm just going to go in the order they are down here below the dashboard. And let's start with welcoming Stephanie, co-host of Con Moms. How are you doing, Stephanie?
Doing fabulous.
Awesome. Welcome back for your second chance to grab a title.
I know. I was runner-up last time, so this is my chance to make a comeback.
There you go. And then we have Dane, host of CF3, host of TechNerd 9000, and a returning champion.
How's it going? I do not even know who TechNerd 9000 is. I don't know.
Okay, my bad. He doesn't want to admit that he sings in videos. So, and then Courtney, who has joined us on such podcasts of, well, obviously The Last Word once before, but also Project Unreal. How are you doing, Courtney?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you. You get bonus points already. Look at that.
Oh, hell yeah. Being empathetic wins, guys.
Right. And then another returning champion and co-host of Movie Camp, Mr. Andrew Adair.
It's good to be back. I didn't realize it was going to look like I'm recording from a prison, but here we are. Right.
You did get your signs up this time around.
It's fine. It's fine.
You know, you just keep it simple so that way we pay attention to your answers and aren't distracted by anything else, right?
Sounds great. Yeah, exactly. Plus, they wouldn't let markers in our cells, so.
That's what it was. So, obviously, our four contestants know how this works. As we mentioned, they're all returning for a second time. For those of you paying attention at home, or maybe you're in the office, or also in a prison cell, if you haven't seen The Last Word before, this is how it's going down. We're going to go through three rounds of questions, and we're going to end up with just one person left at the end. So at the end of round one, one of these four people will be eliminated. At the end of round two, another one eliminated. And then in the final, the last two will go head-to-head for a chance to get the last word. I'm excited. I feel like we have some good questions today. And the reason I feel like they're good questions is because I prepared them, obviously.
They're the best questions.
Right. Yeah. Look at us. We're already sucking up. But we're going to go ahead and jump straight into round one because we got a lot to cover. So here it is, round one time. Are you guys ready?
Yes, I'm very ready. I'm the only one that's ready.
Apparently. Well, let's talk about what everybody else is talking about the past couple of weeks, and that's Godzilla versus Kong, along with Zack Snyder's Justice League, has kind of helped push HBO Max into one of the top 10 downloaded apps of the year so far. That's right. Top 10 downloaded apps of the year so far, something they didn't expect to see with a slow 2020. This is impressive, especially for a newish streaming platform. Like I said, that it struggled to find a wider audience, but along with pushing HBO Max to new heights, Godzilla vs. Kong also pushed some numbers at the box office, giving the summer season some hope again. So I'm conflicted. I'm confused. What is going on? Because we also have the same studio, Warner Brothers, who has a 2022 exclusive deal. I don't know what it's going to look like in the movie industry coming up soon. All I know is I hope I can see some films this summer and, of course, next year at the theaters. I guess, what do you guys think is going to happen? Let's start with you, Dane, since you're right there next to me. What do you think is going to happen in the near future for the movie theater industry?
I think the one lasting effect is we might start seeing a lot more hybrid releases. Now, Warner Brothers, HBO Max, whatever, they've just proven that you can still have box office by having something released same day on a streaming service. And I've heard, for every person that I've heard that says they can't wait to get back out to the movie theaters again, there's another person who's like, okay, this is the home experience is for me, because I didn't have to deal with a person like playing on their phone next to me the whole time, talking during the movie.
You must not be married.
If I wanted to get up and go to the bathroom and not miss a scene, just things like that. So I do think the hybrid model is the thing of the future. And I don't know if, you know, that's necessarily good for the movie theaters at all, but they're just going to have to find a way to survive. So
All right. All right. For every extrovert, there is an introvert, is what Dane's saying. Stephanie, how about you? What are you thinking we're going to see in terms of the movie going experience?
So I feel like what we're going to see is kind of a return to an older theater model, the roadshow, to create making going to the movie theater into a spectacle. Because I don't think it's enough to just drop a movie. I think one of the main reasons that HBO was so successful with these two releases is they were riding the hype buzz train that has been building for years around the Snyder Cut. That did not, their success did not exist in a vacuum. I don't think that it was just a blip. I think that they very cleverly and smartly rode that buzz and capitalized it. Then tacked on Kong versus Godzilla, because I don't think that would have been as successful had they not also had the Snyder Cut. So I really see studios trying to hype up their films, create buzz, generate hype, give them a reason to actually go out beyond that, oh, the theater is really nice. Capitalize on that. Capitalize on all the merch that they've been selling. Black Widow merch is already like been making bank all over the place, and the movie hasn't even dropped yet. So give those exclusive physical items, give people reasons to go to the spectacle of the theater, and that's where the money is going to be in the future.
All right. I like that answer. I like that answer. Yeah. Courtney, what do you have to say about this?
I think we're already kind of, you know, like obviously seeing that, like, I think there are going to be, my answer is probably not going to be that original either, but we're going to be seeing a lot of like the smaller films, like the rom-coms and stuff. They definitely have found like a home on Netflix and HBO and Hulu and stuff, and it's kind of been a cool boom of those kind of movies that were like popular in the 90s and the 80s that weren't getting box office draws in recent years. And also I think there's going to be a smaller niche like with art house theaters and smaller theaters where you're going to see Wes Anderson movies that are going to be kind of the big tentpole movies for those smaller theaters, which I think is really cool. So you're going to see kind of like what Stephanie was saying, you're going to see like the big spectacles at like your AMCs and your Regals and stuff like that for Marvel and Star Wars and what have you. If there's ever any more Star Wars movies, of course. Hopefully not. That's just my personal opinion. I think they need to just stick with the TV shows. They're doing great. Oh, I think I've started some fights. It's fine. See more of the indie art house movies going to smaller theaters and hopefully getting more people to go out and see other types of movies at the theater. So you're going to, I think, have the two options, and then like kind of everything middle of the road you're going to see on Netflix, HBO, Hulu, et cetera.
Okay. I could see that happening. Just studios being more selective, essentially. All right, Andrew, as a theater expert, let us know how this is going down.
Thank you for saving me for last, since I know so much about the theater industry. As somebody who was fired by AMC over a year ago because of COVID, I know for a fact that the theaters got absolutely hammered by this thing. But I actually think on the other side, it's going to be a lot healthier, because I think theaters are going to have better expectations of, you know, they've been operating at 25%. So like they'd be happy to get 50% in there, 75% right now. I think that the deal Warner Brothers signed with Regal is probably going to be standard going forward across the board. I mean, that's my guess. You know, which is a 45-day release window exclusively to theaters, and then they will announce things that they'll drop it at home. I think one of the things we did learn, though, is that companies, they need theaters because it's basically free marketing for them. It's getting people to buy the merchandise. You know, I mean, they're as invested in movie theaters coming back as we are. You know, I don't know. I didn't pay $30 to see Raya and the Last Dragon. I wanted to watch it, but I just couldn't. I didn't feel right about it. The one thing I will say, I'm going to miss being able to rent theaters out and watching movies by ourselves. That's going to stink.
That's fair. Well, great answers all around. First of all, the audience gets 10 points for hearing yet another Project Nerd podcast try to predict what the movie theater industry is going to look like in the future. And guess what? We're probably going to do it for another 6 months on our podcast. So just bear with us, because we still don't really know. But I like all four of your answers. I feel are good. And even though none of them really conflicted with each other, I think all four kind of, you know, coexist. They all have little different pieces about it. So Stephanie, your answer was very solid. I'm giving you 3 points this round. Andrew and Courtney, y'all each got 2 points, but Courtney, you went off topic and attacked my beloved Star Wars, so I'm taking one of those points back.
That's fine.
And Dane, I'm giving you a point as well. So we're all really neck and neck there after the first question. Again, great answers. And as always, listeners, let us know what you think about with the movie industry. Quentin says he's super invested. I don't know if that means the movie industry or this podcast. I'm going to assume both. So we're going to go with both. All right. Let's head into question two here and talk a little bit about comics. So I'm sure everybody here knows, and most people that would listen to a podcast on Project Nerd have heard the news. Marvel has announced that they are going exclusively to Penguin Publishing for their comic distribution worldwide. So they will obviously still have statues and toys through other various means, and Diamond distributors will continue to handle some of those types of things. But comics gone from Diamond just about 9 months after DC already announced that Diamond was no longer handling their North American distribution. So this is a huge blow for Diamond. And for those of us that have created independent comics or who love independent comics, we didn't like Diamond in the first place. However, they've been a very necessary evil. And there's a lot of concern with them going under because of Marvel and DC's decision that it's going to be much more difficult for independents to get into comic stores. So is that going to be the case? Is it going to hurt the independent publishers? Or could the big wall of Diamond that caused huge minimums and lots of problems for indie publishers, that wall falling, could that make it easier for them? I think my question got muddied, but I hope y'all understood it. Let's start with you, Courtney.
I think it's going to be a good thing because when you have a kind of a monopoly over an industry like that is so art-based, I think that can be really damaging to how people create content. You have people who want to release what they're writing and what they're drawing, but then it's like, how do we fit this into this little bottleneck that's going to be picked up by one of these publishers? So I think splitting off that market share is going to be helpful personally. Also, off topic, I have a Star Wars poster right here. So I don't hate Star Wars. I just think Disney, okay, I'm going to stop before I dig myself into a deeper hole with every major property. But I just needed to point that out. And I think that's the end of my answer.
All right. Well, Courtney, we'll definitely have to include you on a future episode that has Star Wars questions
because
think I prepped any. Andrew, what are you thinking here for the future of independent comic publishing?
Yeah, I want to be positive too. I mean, I think this could really be the rise of the indie distributor. You know, maybe there's someone that we don't know about yet that's not filled the role. You know, maybe that's us. I don't know. You know, maybe, you know, there's so much though that the little guy I think that can do to push themselves out now that Diamond is out of the way. I think it's ultimately going to be positive. I mean, you're right. I mean, it's going to be harder to get things into stores initially, but I just can't see that happening long term because comic book stores, you know, Marvel and DC, they might pay the bills, but a lot of people go in for the independent stuff. And a lot of people go to those stores to get things, you know, that they wouldn't be able to find at a Barnes and Noble sometimes. You know, you can go in and get comics there now. So I definitely think that it's a good thing. I mean, I want to stay positive with this because there's a lot I think you could take negative out of it. You could see it's like a, you know, end of an era or whatever you call it, but I think it's going to be awesome. I think it's positive. Definitely the rise of the indie distributor.
All right. Dane, what are you thinking here with Diamond being pushed out by the big guys?
Well, this is kind of like the last question where we're kind of going to try and have to predict what's going to happen in the industry.
I'm taking all y'all's answers and pooling them so I can start putting money down on certain businesses. So that's why I'm asking you guys to predict the future for me. But go ahead.
So I think like indie publishers, they're going to have a hard time finding any audience if there's no indie comic stores or comic stores left. And so I think we have to examine how this affects the comic stores. And I think they're going to get larger discounts and free shipping with Penguin for their Marvel books now. And so that's going to save, I think, the smaller shops a lot of money as opposed to, you know, the bigger stores might not save money because they're buying more books. So they're going to get the large discount from Diamond anyway. But this is kind of off topic, but I don't know about you guys. But when I was a teen, the only way that I even knew about like indie comics at all was my dad would take me into the shop and I would walk out not with any comics, but just the Diamond distribution catalog, which was like this thick. And that's how I found out about, I would just read the thing like cover to cover, like this book exists. So we do still need Diamond. They're going to still be able to sell Marvel product, but it's going to be like they're a middleman instead. So the discounts aren't going to be there for the stores. I think they'll just have to readjust and hopefully it'll be a good thing for the indie publishers saying, okay, now you really need us. So play ball for once.
That's good point there at the end. Stephanie, what are you thinking?
So I'm coming in from a little bit of an outsider perspective because this actually was new information to me, but it seems like the shakeup needed to happen. Regardless of if this falls into a good or a bad, the status quo as it was didn't seem to be working and didn't seem to be working to the benefit of indie creators. So there needed to be a breakup. There needs to be a shakeup, something to happen to allow the opportunity for something new to be built in its place. Whether or not that's going to be good or bad, long-term, short-term, it's really difficult to say, but the opportunity itself, I think, is the most important thing to come out of that.
All right. Great answers across the board. I hesitated there because I'm also reading that we're getting some good answers from the audience. Quentin trying to take over the show, even though he's not hosting this week. Diamonds on the way out. They're about as necessary as the mob is necessary to small businesses. Damon from CF3 has an opinion on Diamond. I'll just let it speak for itself. I think some great answers here. We try to keep it positive while at the same time we're talking about this is a necessary shakeup. We want to see those indie companies succeed. So great answers across the board, giving a little bit of points to everybody. Stephanie, killing it with your answers. You're heading into round two with the lead of 5 points. Woo. Now, Andrew, you got 4 points. So you're going to head into the round. Dane and Courtney, I've got you tied at 3 points. So we've got to do a tiebreaker here. What are we going to do? So I think what I'm going to do is ask just a random question about myself, and you guys are going to have to guess the answer. Oh. You ready for this?
Sure.
All right. Dane and Courtney. Actually, I'll even throw back to the first episode we ever did. How many pairs of shoes do I own?
Wow. I don't know, but you reviewed some on... because I saw the YouTube video. So you review enough you have enough to do reviews. So I don't know if you're getting them for free or what, but I'm going to say you have, I don't know. These Nike collectors are crazy.
That's the most thought ever put into how many shoes does Iggy have.
I bet you get on the app and try and get those like ones that wind up for like $1,000 on eBay. I'm going to say you have 88 pairs.
Oh, wow. 88. Okay. Courtney, what are you thinking?
All right. Based on your response, I'm going to go with 60.
60. All right. Well, I have 30 pairs of shoes. I'm also a father of two.
You so like Courtney, a whole shoe room, Iggy.
Yeah. Courtney, you are closer.
But you're getting these all for free.
No, I'm paying. We don't get sneakers for free. However, if anybody from Nike or Reebok or any of those places is listening, we're open to getting them for free. All right, Dane, you're out on a technicality there. Great answers, but unfortunately, everybody had great answers. So we will keep you around. I'm just going to keep you around for fun. We're just going to keep you around. I'm going to put myself in the middle here, though, so I can be the center of attention. But I'm going to take the other four people into round two. All right. We've got two more questions for this round. And for those paying attention, we are keeping our points. So again, Stephanie has 5, Andrew with 4, and Courtney with 3. Let's start the questions for round two. I don't have a Star Wars question, but we are going to talk Star Trek, and that's Star Trek Picard. It's official. It's bringing back one of the most memorable Next Generation characters to date. Q is returning. For those of you that don't know, Q was a whimsical, clever game player. That's what we'll call him. Well, with his imminent return, it got me thinking, you know, what other characters in small roles in Star Trek? Because we saw tons of A-list and B-list and even D-list actors make small appearances, either in a few episodes or maybe just one. But what character in the back of your mind would you like to see come back for either Discovery, Picard, or even the new animated series? Courtney, you're behind, so let's start with you.
Oh, God. I think I'm just going to probably have to concede in this round. And if my dad's watching, he's going to be very upset that I don't like Star Trek as much as he does. But I do have an answer. I would say the whales from Star Trek 4. I think, why not? Like that, I have a lot of personal attachment to that movie because I did watch it when I was really young with my dad. I probably... too young where it went over my head, and I'm just like, oh, I like animals. This is pretty cool. I don't think they're per se minor characters. That was kind of the point of the movie, but they weren't around they never came back because we're waiting for what, the 23rd century for them to come back. So I would say I'd like to see them again.
Okay.
If good I were answer. To watch Star Trek.
That's a good answer. It's a good answer. Thank and you. It has sentimental value. So, I mean, yeah. That's pretty solid.
And Andrew, also, Dad, I love you.
There you go. Hi, Dad. Andrew, what are we thinking here? Who would you like to see come back to Star Trek?
I want to say I also spent way too much time watching Voyage Home. So I'm in on whales coming back in Star Trek. Okay. So I also spent way too much time looking over this. And I have a quick list I need to run through you guys. Okay. So first is... Borg Queen, because she'd be cool to see again. I know she's presumed dead, but that'd be still fun to see. Martok, if you remember that guy, he was like that big Romulan dude from Deep Space Nine. He'd just be fun to see again. That's a deep cut, though. Okay, Captain Janeway. Admiral Janeway. It'd be great to see her.
He's getting really happy about your answers here.
I know. The obvious choice is Guinan. She's going to be back, I think, this season. I don't know if that's confirmed or not, but I believe Whoopi will be back in season two. Okay. This one's a weird one. I would like to see Tom Hardy return as Romulan Picard clone number two. If you saw Star Trek Nemesis, that would be awesome to see. And then I think the last one that would, I think, actually be the coolest is one of the Siskos. So either Jake Sisko as a grown-up journalist or Ben Sisko coming back out of the wormhole for the first time since we saw him exit.
Okay. Good answers. Good answers. Stephanie, you won't be docked points if you repeat one of his answers, because I'm pretty sure Andrew listed everybody on the IMDb pages of Star Trek.
All right, Stephanie. So
go ahead.
So weirdly enough, the answers I prepared did not cross with any of those. Okay, so I also have to give a shout out to Space Whales. I love Space Whales. Regardless of if they show up in Star Trek or a Star Wars. So I am hashtag Team Space Whales. But no, so I was more leaning into... what Star Trek does so well and what it has always done so well is provided social commentary through that science fiction lens. So to me, I was looking more at the single episode characters that we saw throughout, mostly Next Generation, because that was what I grew up on, and what kind of stories they tell and how those could be expanded now. So I was thinking a lot about Trill culture, about Andorian culture, those sorts of aliens that started to touch the edges of, you know, really going beyond what alien biology meant, beyond the physical aspect, but just so here's the boy alien and here's the girl alien and they get married and have alien babies and they're always compatible with humans. Whereas Andorians had four genders. Trill were notoriously body jumpers, and their sex and gender and identities were changing constantly. And there's a lot of those kinds of stories that were just so barely touched on. There was an almost commentary with an alien species about same-sex marriage and homosexuality back in Next Generation that they weren't quite able to do yet, just like the original series had to really tiptoe around war issues and racial issues, but they still tried to make those commentaries. But now in this era, I think this would be a great way to bring in, really expand on that beautiful world building that Star Trek has done so well over the course of its existence, and really expand on those themes that it has tried to touch on in the past and it hasn't been able to fully do yet.
All right. Solid.
Or answers. We could just get Beverly Crusher back so Picard can have himself a little lady friend.
There you go. I was always preferred the archaeologist thief MacGyver chick. She was way better for Picard, but that's my opinion.
We're going to have to do a whole Star Trek podcast here. Somebody on the Project Nerd team said Jayla from Star Trek Beyond.
All right.
I don't know. There we go. But was that you, Dane, commenting on behalf of there we go. Perfect. This is getting really hard. Great answers, some points. So, Stephanie, I'm giving you 3 points. You're up to 8 now. Andrew, you got a pair of, you've got, how many points did you have before? You had 4. So, 4. So you're getting 2 points. You're up to 6. Okay. And then, Courtney, you were getting 2 points as well, putting you up to 4. But since both of the other contestants loved your well answer, I'm bumping you an extra point. So you're at 6 as well. So we are there. Cool. Perfect. So it is a close race as we head into the second question of round 2. And this one, this was a personal question to me because I was digging through Netflix the other day. I was so excited this year when we saw that early trailer. Oh, I think they said something like 60 something new movies coming out to Netflix and everything like that. Mm-hmm. We were so hyped for all these original movies, multiple titles were going to have to come out a week. Well, we're in month 3 and we've got Malcolm and Marie, Pieces of a Woman, and I Care a Lot, which are all solid. But now we've got, what was that, Thunder Force that came out last week? Do we even want, no, let's not go there. My point being is, where are all the big Netflix hits hiding? And when can we finally expect the jaw-dropping title be in front of us? And so I'm going to be more clear on what I'm saying there is, what Netflix movie this year, likely one that's already announced, is going to be that first one where we're going to forget about a slow start to the year in the first 3 months. Andrew, why don't you get us started this time?
Okay, well, so, you know, I look at Netflix like comfort food. You know, it's like you nothing on HBO, you turn on Netflix and you'll find something you like. So that, you know, that's how I kind of feel about Netflix, but they have some awesome movies coming out this year. And if you're asking me to give you one, I have a list of like 10 that I was going to give you, cause I know you need recommendations. Okay. I'm going to do two and I don't care. Apollo 10 and a half, directed and written by Richard Linklater, starring Jack Black and Zachary Levy. And it is a Scanner Darkly type rotoscope film about the 1969 Apollo 11 landing mission and the kids that are dreaming about how they perceive the mission to be.
All right. I was not aware of this one, so that's a good answer.
And then the second one is called Don't Look Up. It's with Jennifer Lawrence and Leonardo DiCaprio, and it's directed and written by Adam McKay.
Oh,
it is a political, they call it a political satire disaster movie. They are portraying two low-level astronomers attempting via media tour to warn mankind about an asteroid that will destroy the Earth. And the cast also has Meryl Streep, Kate Blanchett, Jonah Hill, Timothy Chalamet, Tyler Perry, Ron Perlman, and Chris Evans. So blown away.
That's a cast. That is a cast. All right, yeah. Stephanie, what are you thinking is going to be the first jaw dropper there on Netflix?
All right. This might be a controversial opinion, but I'm going to say none of them. A lot of what Andrew listed sounds really cool. You say the name Kate Blanchett and I'm there. Like yes, always. But I don't think it's going to be any of them. I don't think that any of them is going to give us the jaw dropping experience, the talked about movie of the year, none of them, because none of them are able to do what the TV shows have done over the course of this pandemic for Netflix. And that is ride that hype chain, ride the buzz, outlast the just onslaught of news and other things and barrage and media that's going on. I really don't think any of them are going to stand up to that, especially as we're already getting to the point where we've got mass vaccination sites opening up to everybody, you know, in different parts of the country from 18 and older, regardless of pre-existing conditions. People are antsy, tears are dropping. People are going to want to go outside to physical locations. I just don't see any of them being that thing. I see some of them being amazing, but in the amazing and the hidden gem variety.
All right. You took the jaw dropping at another level. And I was a little hesitant on your answer at first, but you basically answered it with their shows, which is with the solid backup of the answer too. All right, Courtney, you got two big answers to compete against here. What are you thinking?
I will say, Stephanie, when you say Timothy Chalamet is to me what Kate Blanchett is to you, as far as movies go, as soon as you mentioned that, I'm like, well, that's it. I have a cardboard cutout of Timothy in my kitchen right now. I got as a present next to Harry Styles. That's beside the point. Just wanted to share that with you because I'm excited. The movies that I, going back to the question, the movies that I was excited about actually came out and I didn't care for them. So I'm kind of, it was Malcolm and Marie and Thunder Force were two very different types of movies. And I was like, oh, these could be really fun. Like, I feel like, Netflix is kind of trashy, you know, as far as like the content they put out, I feel like, where it's like, oh, this is like something you put on in the background, something to put on when you have like someone over or whatever. And you're just like trying to have some fun or, you know, just something that's not going to be. Yeah. I mean, exactly. Not
tell us about it.
Yeah.
Netflix and chill.
Yeah. That's right. Where the name came from. Cause it's like, I don't think you can get invested in these shows, you know, like Queen's Gambit, I think is great, you know, and, but I feel like their bread and butter is going to be like their reality shows and yeah, the series to an extent, like Stephanie was saying, but I don't think any of, I also agree. I don't think any of their movies are going to be like, whoa, this is going to be what, I don't know, like whatever. I can't think of any movies that have come out on streaming services that are like, this is incredible. Why was this not in a theater? Because I think a lot of those movies are good and they're suitable for streaming, you know, but they're not like, holy shit, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. And I'm so glad I've kept my $9.99 subscription for this.
May I interject real quick? Is that allowed? Yeah. Can I add something, Iggy?
Now that we're at the end of the answer, yes, go ahead.
Okay. Wendell and just the Wild, so you know,
I'm putting the pin down. So there, you can interject, but there's no more points here.
No, that's fine. That's fine. No points. But you need to know about Wendell and Wild. It's a horror comedy with Key and Peele where they play two scheming demon bros. Okay. Harder They Fall, Idris Elba, Lakeith Stanfield, and Regina King, and a music by Jay-Z in an American Western movie. Okay. Those are going to be killers. Like, for sure. Anyway, no points for me, but those are awesome movies.
All right. Well, Dane, sitting from the sidelines there, chimed in, and he's mentioning, too, that I think similar to what Stephanie's saying, where the series are better than the movies, Dane's mentioning it's the documentaries. And good point. Last Blockbuster was fantastic, and this is a robbery. So good call out there. Dane, you get a bonus point from the back there. All right, let's talk about it. Let's see who's moving on to round three. Stephanie, you've got 10 points. Great answers across the board. Digging it. You're obviously going into round three. Andrew, you've got 9 points. That's just good enough to beat out Courtney's 8 points. So, Andrew, you're going to join Stephanie around three. Courtney, it was great answers. I don't think you did anything wrong. I just feel like the other two answered better there for sure. So I do appreciate you being a part of this episode as well. I'm going to kick you and Dane out of here for the next round, but I will welcome you back at the end. So stick around for sure. Let me find the right remove buttons. It's not like I've ever controlled before. Get us in the right order. And before we get started on round three, I just want to ask, how are y'all doing today? Let's get intimate for a minute and talk. It sounds like we've got some things going on. Andrew, how's movie camp looking? Is that going to be a thing that's going to come back after all this is over?
Well, I don't know if you heard our first question, Iggy, but we don't even know where movies are going to be. So,
okay, that's fair. That's fair.
In reality, like we thought we would be done with movie camp, and now it seems like movie camp would be more important than ever. So I would definitely think that things might happen.
Okay, awesome. And Stephanie, Con Moms, you and you and Sarah doing a great job over there. Are you enjoying the podcast?
Yes, absolutely loving it. And it's nice to, just because Sarah and I live so physically far from each other, to have that chance to really connect. Right. But we just did our last episode that just came out was about our favorite finds at artist alleys and conventions. And we talked a lot about those small artists and creators that we loved and those really cool things that we found and ways to support them in this time and ways to remember who you have found in this time.
Right. Perfect. Awesome. Well, you can catch Con Moms over on the Project Nerd Geek Culture podcast channel or at projectnerd.com, where you can catch all of our awesome podcasts. Now that I've gotten to know y'all a little bit better, let's head on in to round three, or as we like to call it, the last round. Now, we talked about Netflix in that last question, and this, I'm going to be honest with you. There was a lot of things that came to my mind. And if y'all looked at the sheet early on, y'all know this last question was the last thing I could get to. And then I saw this morning some more Bridgerton news. And let's be honest, Bridgerton was fantastic. I can pretend as a man I didn't watch it. That show was fantastic. Absolutely loved it. Anyways, before I get too far off topic, we're talking about it coming back for season 3 and 4 now on top of season 2. Even though the Duke's not returning, kind of upsetting, but that's okay. As I mentioned, I confess my love for it, but I'm not asking you guys to confess your love for it. What I really want to know is that with the renewal of that show and well, Stephanie, you brought up a good point that Netflix kills it on the series. So what series should come back, actually? And I'm not thinking reboots. I'm not thinking recast, relaunch, or whatever. What series ended but should still be going on, can be picked up right where it left off? Andrew, since you're behind, we'll give you the go here.
So everyone's going to say Firefly, I feel like. I don't know if you're going to say Firefly. Firefly is always the one everyone talks about. But I want to go specifically with Netflix shows, things that I know that they could actually make right now. The fact that they ended Santa Clarita Diet when they did was stupid. Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, the fact that they ended that when they did was stupid. I think that could have kept going. By the way, congrats on your Bridgerton news. When a show is like full steam and they like renew for 2 seasons, I always feel so good about that, you know?
Right.
You're set for like 4 years. Honestly, those were the main two. Let me look. I really don't think there was weird shows that they had that I would like to see. Like, I could see a third season of the OA. I don't know if you ever watched that show. It's a hyper weird one.
they have a couple like weird like foreign shows that I could do more of. Like I could do more of Fauda, if you've ever seen that one. Anyway, they do a lot of good shows that are canceled, but definitely Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, that one in Santa Clarita Diet, like those shows, I actually don't know why they canceled them.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Stephanie, what are you thinking?
So I have a just an off the Hilter comment there, but I don't think Firefly should ever get a season two ever. Slightly
oh my
controversial,
gosh, we agree.
I know. Yeah. No, I think that would do more harm than good. But as far as shows that should come back, if we're talking Netflix, I will talk an essay about you about the travesty that was The Dark Crystal not getting renewed for another season. The Dark Crystal show was magnificent. It was artistry. It was just a beautiful, beautiful successor to not only the original film, but I also felt like it really touched on the themes and characters that were happening, was tapping into the reasons like why everybody still loves Avatar the Last Airbender. Like that master craftsmanship of the storytelling and characters, that was happening there just in that first season we got, and we lost it. And I will always be absolutely furious at Netflix for it. If we're going beyond Netflix show, I have been watching Harlots, which was a Hulu show that got canceled after three seasons. It is another period drama. It is about two rival whorehouses in the 1800s, and it is phenomenal. It definitely, if you like the more adult, grim sort of like a Game of Thrones context, this one blows, at least for that type of content, I think blew Game of Thrones out of the water, because that show is written and directed by women. And you can tell watching Harlots versus Game of Thrones how they handle sex, how they handle prostitution, how they handle power imbalances, how they handle rape, how what gets shown and what doesn't, what stories are being told and what isn't, whose lens are we looking through. I thought it was an absolutely beautiful masterclass done. They touch on class issues, race issues, sexuality, all of it. It ended after three seasons. It got canceled. And I really think that, and it only got canceled at 2019, I think. So it's, you could still do something. Like the iron hasn't totally cooled down. It's still workable at this point. Also, Liv Tyler's in it, and Liv Tyler.
All right. Fantastic answers. I feel like Jim Carrey over here in the number 23 with all the scratches for points going on in this room. So while I'm calculating these numbers here, let's look at some of the other answers we had from our listeners. Dane from the sidelines again, giving us The Last Man on Earth. Cliffhanger was a travesty. I hadn't finished it yet. Ruined the cliffhanger for me, I guess. Dane also said Futurama again, which, to be honest, at this point, why not? Why not, right? Like, let's talk about it. Q, talking about a new season of Luther. Did it get canned? Did Luther get canned?
I'm pretty sure it's still going.
Okay, good. I got a little scared there. Dane is active on our board here. Glow was the best show ever. Glow is pretty solid. Quentin, if he was on, I would kick him off this round because Bridgerton is not garbage. It is not. It just seems like garbage. It was probably garbage, but it was guilty garbage. And then a lot of agreement with you on the Dark Crystal prequel series. So here it is. I've given out a lot of points for this round. Andrew, I'm giving you 23 points for this round. And that's 23 points is because I like your answers. Glow is also one that I think if they brought back would also generate a huge audience. However, Stephanie, I'm giving you 37 points this round. Woo! And that's because you went in deep about the Dark Crystal, and you went in deep about Harlots. Okay. I didn't want to missay it. So I asked it on the speaker. Like it would have made a difference if I just mispronounced it. Anyways, you gave some emotion in that answer. So I appreciate it greatly. So Stephanie, you are a winner on this week's episode of The Last Word. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Let me get to the right screen so I can kick Andrew and myself out of here and let you have your 30 seconds of Zen.
Hi. 30 seconds of the Zen. This is my cat, Navi. She has cerebellar hyperplasia, also known as wobble cat syndrome. It is a fairly uncommon disorder, but it basically means her brain doesn't control her motor functions correctly. And we adopted her, and she is one of the most amazing animals I've ever met. And so I just want to use my 30 seconds to say, like, when you're looking at adopting an animal, consider the ones that, you know, are missing an eye, are missing a leg, are less adoptable, are older, have some sort of disability or some other, because those animals also need our love too and our care, and they get overlooked a lot, and they can be some of the best companions that you could ever have in your entire life, even though she scratched up my hand like partway through this podcast. So I still love you. I forgive you. She's a good cat.
Awesome. 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 Bonus points for the warm heart here at the end too. So let's bring everybody back. Andrew, Courtney, Dane, all fantastic this time around. I can't thank you guys enough. You all were great contestants in another week on another one. I think each of you could have won. Andrew, I felt you were this close to being our first two-time champion. So we're going to get you back soon because I think you have the chance to be that person. Awesome. Again, Dane, CF3, Andrew, hopefully we see some more movie camp.
I'll have to watch
I'm sure
Harlots.
You can still go. Oh, there so you go. Good. There you go. Courtney is, you've guessed it on a few of our podcasts. They're going to start writing for us too. So everybody keep your eyes open for that. And one last time, Stephanie's on Con Moms, also on the Project Nerd Podcast Network. For all of the amazing Project Nerd podcasts, and we have a lot of them, you can head on over to projectnerd.com/podcast. That's project-nerd.com/podcasts, or you can head on over to wherever you get your podcast and just search Project Nerd. You'll find them. They're great. All right, everybody, smile and wave, boys. Smile and wave. All
Andrea,
right.
I hope you make parole.
There we go. Awesome. All right, that's it for this episode of The Last Word. Until next time.